I was new to myself. My name is Marissa, or I'm Sharp, and I teach English for an independent education program based in Utah, but I am their online English teacher. Teach in-person classes, and I also teach online for them. So, one thing that I have thought a lot about as a homeschooling mom, as a professional teacher, was the power of having students raise themselves. Which I think in homeschool is really important because I often get the question as a homeschool teacher that parents outsource to me, how is my child doing in the class? Can you give me some kind of feedback? I've even had students say to me, if I were to get a grade, what would that grade be? And some people are very concerned about grades and, well, when I say concerned, some people relate best to the grading system. And they know that if you say A, that their child is doing great, and if you say C, that their child is not doing so great. So, I like to use a form of self-assessment, and I put this presentation together about different kinds of self-assessment. So I hope that you'll go home with some good ideas that resonate with you on how you can involve your child in gauging their success as a student when they don't get an A, B, or a C, or an F. So, I have a clicker. The overall broad term is self-assessment, and it's just the process of formative assessment during which students reflect, and I love that part of it, and evaluate, also like that part of it, the quality of their work and their learning. They judge the degree to which they have met the explicitly stated goals or criteria. Then they can identify their own strengths and weaknesses. They know, we know, right? When we look at our own work, if we have a standard to base it against, we know if we've hit that standard or not, and then revise accordingly. The purpose of self-assessment is to generate feedback that promotes learning and improvements in their performance. And as homeschooling parents, if we're using like a set curriculum, we know maybe they can answer all the questions at the end of the unit or the chapter in the curriculum. We may not be able to tell too much information maybe about how to improve their performance or maybe gauge their actual understanding of the content. So, the student seeks feedback on their performance. This can come in two ways. Either, as an English teacher, either they're going to turn something to me in and I'm going to read it and give them feedback and give it back to them. Or I can give them a rubric in advance with all my expectations and they can get that feedback and gauge their writing on the rubric. Then they're going to process maybe my comments on what I wrote on their paper, or they're going to process their standards that are on the rubric, and then they're going to act on that feedback, revise their paragraph, revise their essay, and then give it back to me, turn it in. Research found that at first students were very sensitive to failures, which we all understand why, right? You turn in a paper and you get it back with a whole bunch of red marks or comments or something on it. However, they started to perceive mistakes not as failures, but as chances for development. And I think a lot of this is dependent on the way the feedback is given. In a positive way, or, hey, I'm giving you this feedback because I know that you can do it. I know that you can, you know, meet these standards. Can't wait to see the next paper that you turn in. So that they understand we're all rooting for them. As their parents, as their teachers, we want them to succeed and to reach their potential. Self-assessment entitled students to manage their own learning process, which I think is huge in homeschool, right? We want them to be able to manage their own learning process. And so, research also found that one of the most remarkable outcomes was the increased engagement of students, which is also what we want our students to be, engaged learners, right? Not just passive, all the information going in, but not sticking. Especially students who previously struggled academically. Through these approaches of self-assessment, students with low academic performance gained insight into their learning barriers, and then they felt more motivated to take part in the learning process. I mean, think about it. If you have an enlightened understanding of not only what's expected, but how you can meet that expectation, you're going to be more motivated to, you're going to have the knowledge to make the changes and the confidence to be like, okay, now I know what's expected. I can totally do this. I can make that small revision. I can make that change. Sometimes it's as simple as writing your name and your date on the paper, right? Okay, I can do that before I turn it in. That's something measurable and manageable that I can totally handle. There are different types of self-assessment. One I mentioned already is rubrics. Has anybody heard of rubrics before? The word rubric? Okay. I'm going to talk mostly about that one because it's my favorite. And reflective journals, I know you guys have heard about those. Exit tickets, also one of my favorite ways to do self-assessment. Questionnaire, I'm not talking about that one at all, but you know what it is. And goal setting, also I'm not going to touch on that today. So rubrics. They're scoring tools that provide clear expectations. And I love it, especially when rubrics are given in advance of the student working on the assignment, because they have those clear expectations. And it offers a framework for their grading or their evaluation based on specific criteria. It reduces time spent grading. As a teacher, we do not have to think about, okay, how did they do on this writing assignment? How many points should I give them here? Should I dock that many points there? It's very subjective. But if you have a rubric, it becomes objective. Yep, they met that standard. They met that criteria. Yep, they have their name and the date on the paper. Yep, it's exactly 5 paragraphs long. Yep, they included three research sources, and they cited the Gideon text citation. I can easily tell. Yep, they did everything I asked them to do. So it really takes a lot of, I don't want to say mental work, because it's always mental work to evaluate, right? But it just takes a lot of the subjectivity out of the grading. Benefits, again, it helps the student manage their own education. It reduces the teacher-parent workload. It offers an opportunity to practice critical evaluation skills. Like again, if that student is comparing their work to the expectations, they can evaluate if they have met those criteria or not. Has very clear expectations for everyone involved, so nobody can come back and say, well, I don't understand why I missed so many points, or I don't understand what you didn't like about my project. With those clear expectations, it just makes it a lot easier. And again, if they know what's expected, it can rise to that level, and the quality of their work is going to be better. This is some research that I found. I don't think this is surprising. Like, think about if you were to start a new job, and you had a basic set of skills, but maybe not the skills that were specific to this office. Let's say you're going to be a medical assistant at a doctor's office. You got your MA certification, you know what you're doing, but you don't really know how this doctor's office really likes things done. If they have whether they have a project to do, whether they're meeting somebody new, whether that's starting a new job or meeting a new teacher, just all really appreciate clear communication. Okay. Oops, I think I skipped one too fast. I have several examples of rubrics. They can look different, so that's why I have several, so that you can look at them and see the one that you feel might work best for your situation. You can see on the left-hand side, in the left-hand column, these are all the categories that they're going to be evaluated on when they give a tutorial presentation. Across the top is the criteria, and it's a graded scale. So the better they do, the more points they can earn. If we were to give this in the speech class before they gave their first speech, they would be able to look over it and say, okay, I need to have good eye contact. I need to have a little bit of draw. I need to project self-confidence and inflection. I need to make sure I can hold the attention of the audience. They know what they're going to be preparing for as they prepare their speech. This is a pretty standard template of a rubric. A different kind is just a yes or no checklist. Formative assessment is what we do during the process as we're going along. So, I wanted students to be thinking about these things as they were doing their project, their homework. I want them to know. I expect them to be thoughtful in their responses. I want them to use the writing process that we've talked about in class. If they choose to use AI, I want them to be the thinking human in the whole equation for the assignment. And I am very proud of, I want them to know that I expect them to be proud of their work, which means they're not going to, I expect them not to do a sloppy job and just turn in the assignment just to check off the assignment. I want them to be proud of their effort. And as they're going through this, it's straightforward. Yes or no? Some of the assessment is what we do at the end of our project, and these are the things that I wanted them to think about. Turning it in on time, formatting it correctly, considering feedback that I have already given them to improve, editing, and again, taking pride in their work. And it's simple. You either did or you didn't. Here's a rubric for a book response project. After they read a book, they have to make a large presentation about it. Not a large presentation, but they have to make a short presentation in front of the class and create something that has to do with the book. So you can see all my expectations. I intentionally chose. I put thought into my project. I challenged myself. I focused on details. And sometimes in the criteria, I put in those benchmarks of 75% or more on this one. So that's also the beauty of rubrics. You can just assign it to however works best for you. Here's one again. Categories on the left, graded scale on the across the top. This is for the same assignment, it's just in a different format. Okay. Sometimes, all of those so far have been about academically related things. Sometimes in homeschool, half the battle is with attitude, right? No, I don't want to do that today. How many of these do I have to do? Oh my gosh, I've been here forever. When are we going to be done? I just need a little more sleep. Oh, I'm going to procrastinate and get something to eat in the kitchen before I started this homework assignment or this assignment that you've asked me to do for the last hour. So, I made a rubric for attitude. Also, the ones that I've shown so far have been for higher level academic skills. This next one is for early childhood. So, they can just mark the emoji face, right? And on their attitude, a didn't complain or resist Mom's instructions. I focused on my tasks so I could do a good job. I was a happy worker. I finished my assignments in the time given, because if your children were like my children were, they did the assignment after about 4 hours.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me!
And whatever other responsibilities you feel are important, cleaning up the area after they're done with homeschool for the day. But again, you can just put on it whenever you like. This one, I think, you can have so much fun with the emojis, right? Like, I'm thinking of the cowboy hat emoji, or the sunglasses emoji, or whatever, and just it's just a way to keep it lighthearted, but also let your children know you have expectations for not only their schoolwork, but their behavior and attitude. Okay, a different type of self-assessment is reflection. This is the only example I have of it, but I'm sure you have seen things like reflection journals or things like that. I like this format because the prompt is small on the left, and I gave them a lot of room to write their reflection in the second column. And you can see these are higher level thinking questions. I did have a student last week. We just read a short chapter book, and I asked for a reflection, and he wrote, I liked this book because of its length. It was shorter than, no, it was longer than Magic Treehouse and shorter than the Bible. Okay. There you go. So, okay, exit tickets. I really like exit tickets. As the name implies, it's right before class ends, or right before your time of that subject matter ends, and you're going to transition to something else. I wrote down three ways that you can get an exit ticket. One is just a 3x5 card. They're super cheap, they're small. I think when you hand them a 3x5 card, it lets them know, don't be overwhelmed, I just want a little bit of information. Or you can do the same thing with a sticky note. My students are required to have sticky notes just so that they can write down things quickly and do exit tickets and write down their ideas and share them with them for certain activities. You can also, there's a Google form for exit tickets. I did not know this until I did this research. But if you go to, I hope I want to get to. Okay. So they're short and sweet, and you can design them however you want. This one I just created. What important thing you learned in class today? Because at the end of the lesson, I want them to just revisit one thing that they felt was particularly important to them that day, that they want to remember, or that they think will be useful to remember for their education. Did you feel prepared for today's lesson? Why or why not? And that's on them, right? That's a chance for them to reflect and be like, I really did kind of oversleep this morning, and that kind of put me in a rush to get to class. How would you rate your effort during this lesson? I just think it's really important to let the students know that our expectation is for them to try, to put some effort into it. And what are you looking forward to tomorrow? So, that's just a simple example of an exit ticket. They should take 60 seconds or less. And the students are usually motivated to write down because they know they can't go until they write something down, right? They have to give me their ticket before they go home. So that's another form of Self-assessment. Okay. You're all spread out. Most of you are spread out. So you can either take just 3 minutes to jot down some ideas on what you've heard so far, and if you think you might want to include it in your homeschooling, or talk to your neighbor and just have some time to process what we've talked about so far.
Choice and then be like, yeah, or no, like,
yeah.
But the clear expectations, I think, is huge.
Yeah, make their own choice, I think, is big. And also, if they choose to give themselves a 0 or a 1, they're going to know the reason why, right? Maybe they had play practice all that week and they couldn't get to their assignment, or maybe they were sick, or maybe they just weren't motivated to do it, or maybe they didn't see the value in what we asked them to do. Or there could just be a lot of reasons. Maybe they have company coming from out of town for a week. And so in those cases, I would think they would give themselves a lower score and be okay with it, right? I mean, I know I have a lower score, but my grandma was visiting from Florida, and we had a lot of fun, and I'm okay with it. Not doing this assignment. So that whole thing of choice and accountability. Yeah, thank you. She said it was good to introduce it younger so that when they get to those preteen and teen years, they understood the concept of evaluating themselves.
I kind of was just wondering, I just have really cool like trying to figure out like when assessment is important and like in homeschool. I talk about it in school, so I can take it all. But it's different at home, and I just don't know hard to figure out when we should be doing this, what things are.
think that's a really good question, and I want to say when they're young like that, those early childhood years, I feel like it's important to focus on like the attitude and the routine and the structure of however you structure your day. The rubrics I showed in the beginning, like I said, were higher level thinking skills, right? And so when they're young, you just want them to know that, hey, you have some responsibility in how your day goes, right? Because, I mean, this is school and this is what we do, however that looks like in your family. And let's take a minute and review, how did our day go? And, you know, this is what our expectations are during homeschool. How did we meet those expectations? Why don't I just keep it on, did you, like, I'm just shooting from the hip here, like, did you wake up on time when I got you out of bed, you know? Did you put your dishes in the dishwasher after breakfast to get ready for homeschool or whatever your structure is? Or, like, if you have curriculum or books or things that they're supposed to get out, you know, did you get all your supplies? Did you practice your instrument today, you know, at the right time or something like that? And just let them, I think it's important to just, like, get them in the habit of evaluating themselves, like, hey, my behavior's on track, my school's on track, I'm doing good, whoop, look at me, you know, not procrastinating or using my time wisely or doing what mom asked me to, and look how good my day went because we were accountable. Yeah.
Can I share an example? Like, I told you what happened at the high school.
I was a good problem solver today, right? Or I treated my family with kindness today. Yeah.
Also, having your day laid out like that makes it so that you have less demands during the day, and then at the end of the day, you can say,
an agenda would serve a similar purpose, right? This is what we're going to accomplish today. This is what we have going on today, whether that's music lessons or lunch with a friend, or we've got our reading lessons that we're doing today. Just have your whole agenda so that they know what's expected at the beginning of the day, and then at the end they can reflect and evaluate. Okay, we got everything done today, or oh man, we ran out of time for that one thing because baby brother had a blowout or something, you know, and we had to take care of that. So, okay. Thank you for that. As pointed out, it could be initially challenging because students need time to become familiar with what the expectations are and the process of self-evaluation. But like everything else, like every other skill, the more we do it, the more accustomed we get to it, the better we get at it. So, self-assessments, in particular rubrics, support us in our quest as parents to create independent, intentional, critical thinking, motivated students who know how to improve performance, take pride in their work, and take responsibility for their own education. And are those all skills that we want our children to have? So, right, do you have any questions for me? Yes?
Okay, so how can we make, maybe not so many little lessons, but rubrics and self-assessments that align to the standard of education and still tie into that?
Yeah, she's asking about tying into the standards. So are you following like state standards? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, so I'm just gonna go with like your learning goals for your children. So you can have general statements on the rubric, Or you can design more specific to like your unit of study. So to tie into your own standards, like give me an example of a standard that you might want them to meet. Let's say in a reading lesson, are you hope, like is it something like I want to read X words per minute to improve my fluency or okay. So for a comprehension example, I would do something like I was able to retell the story to my mom and remember three things. Yeah. And if you want to do a graded scale, I remembered three things. Next column, I remembered two things. I remembered one thing. I seriously had no idea what the story was about. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Well, I think you have a long day. It's almost 5 o'clock. So, thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. I hope that you found something that sparked something in you to try in your homeschool journey. So, and I hope you have a good evening.